Just the day before, German troops had crossed the border into Poland, and any hope of avoiding war now seemed lost. Having invaded Austria and Czechoslovakia and announced plans to increase his military and naval strength massively, Hitler's influence and aggression as head of the Nazi Party had continued to increase. The British government had been discussing plans to move children from the cities and into safer parts of the countryside for years, should Germany start to bomb Britain. And now they were finally putting their grand evacuation scheme into place. And so it was that the Jarman sisters, Mary 14, Joan 12, Sheila 9, Kath 7, Pat 5, and baby Anne, found themselves on a train with their mother bound for Sussex, leaving behind the threat of the bombers, but leaving their father too. As she had a child under the age of 5, Annie was one of the few mothers allowed to be evacuated with her offspring. This gave her great comfort. She couldn't imagine how less fortunate women were feeling. But at the same time, she fretted that they might be split up when they reached their destination. They were, after all, a large family. Who would have space to take them all? Surely there was a limit to how kind and generous people could be. Her husband, Pierce, who tended to fret about his daughter's well-being at the best of times, had been equally worried.
"I don't want them separated. You've got to stay with them, Annie," he'd said. "Promise me."
"Don't worry. I'm not letting them out of my sight," she'd replied defiantly. "It's all of us or we come straight back home." It was typical fighting talk, but neither Annie nor Pierce could fully appreciate just how difficult things were going to be. On the morning of the evacuation, the Jarman household in Bermondsey's Abbey Street, always a lively place, had been a hive of activity. Pierce had said his goodbyes early, hugging and kissing each of his daughters in turn in the hallway, before leaving for work as a meter collector at the London Electricity Board.
"Be sure to help Mummy out as much as possible, won't you, Mary?" he'd said. "You too, Joan," he added, turning towards his second oldest daughter. "And keep an eye on the younger ones."
Both girls smiled warmly at their father, assuring him that they would do as he asked. They were well used to chipping in with childcare and other domestic chores. They knew how much their mother depended on them, and they didn't want to let their father down. Pierce, a tall, lean and pale-skinned man, took a deep breath, fighting back a swell of emotion. He smiled down at Sheila, looking pretty in her ringlets as usual. While her sisters were excited about swapping London and their school for an adventure in the countryside, Sheila was adamant that she didn't want to leave her home and friends in Bermondsey.
"Don't look so glum, Sheila," said Pierce reassuringly. "You'll like the countryside. Plenty of quiet for you to enjoy your reading."
Sheila did her best to muster a little smile.
"I want you to come with us," she said in a small voice.
She would miss everyone, but the prospect of being without her father almost broke her heart.
"I know," he replied, "and I want to be with you too, but I have to work. And I'll be down every weekend."
Kath jiggled her way to the front as Sheila took a step back.
"Will you be down this weekend, Dad?" she asked.
"Yes, of course," he replied, "as soon as I know where you are." He paused. "Be a good girl, won't you, Kath?"
Pierce was only too aware that Kath, the most tomboyish of his daughters, had a particular tendency to scuffle with other girls, and her stubborn nature was legendary within the family.
"You too, Pat," he added,
looking over to a smaller clone of Kath, with the same full-fringed bob hairstyle, standing just behind her sister. Finally, Annie, holding baby Anne, stepped forward and Pierce kissed them both.
"Take care," he said.
"Bye, darling,"
Annie smiled.
"Love you.
I'll write as soon as I can and let you know where we are." They shared one final kiss. Then after taking his cap out of his pocket and fixing it firmly on his head, Pierce opened the front door. His family spilled out behind him as he walked onto the grey London street with a heavy heart. How odd it would feel coming home that evening. Instead of hearing their familiar chatter, his wife and daughters would all be gone. Quite where to, he did not know. Like all evacuees and their families, no one was really sure where they were going, and the anxiety...